This is the Bandira Vat. This is a Vat, banyan tree, sometimes called Akshay Vat. Akshay Vat means it never perishes. It's always going on and on. It's in the courtyard right behind a building. Well, yeah, we got that part. At Krishna's time, this was a very huge tree, and it spread for miles. It went from here all the way hanging over the Jamuna. The branches of this tree, like you see these branches extending a few feet. Well, they used to... there's some descriptions of this particular banyan tree, Bandiravat, that it expanded for 800 miles. 800 miles. And every single one of Krishna's cows could sit under here in the shade and take rest. This tree is one of the very, very favorite pastime places of Krishna and Balaram, and of course also in Radha and Krishna, as you can see here. Especially the cowherd boys. They would climb the branches, the monkeys would be in the branches and their tails would be hanging down. They had those big gray monkeys, not these little demon monkeys. You know, they had those big gray monkeys with a really long tail. Langur Bandur. And their tails are hanging down. They're like 6 to 8 feet long. So they'd be up there, and the boys would just grab it like one of these vines of and they go face, and the boys go, and then the boys would jump up after them and chase them around. And so they had many, many pastimes up and down the street. So this is a very, very special place of Sakyaras and coward boys. They all together, all the coward boys and all the cows would rest under the branches of this tree. They used to cross the Yamuna River on the branches of this tree. The tree was going... Of course, the Yamuna River wasn't like it is now. The Yamuna River is like 10 feet wide. It's just nothing. It's like nothing. 5,000 years ago, the Yamuna River was like 1 mile wide or something. It was huge. Huge, huge. Very huge. Even you go to Orissa. I've only seen a few big rivers in India. Showing a big feature. I saw the Mahanadi. The Mahanadi near... within Orissa is called the Mahanadi. It was somewhere around Katak or somewhere. I went there to see some deity on top of a hill there. I forget. The deity's called Nilamadav. They say it's kind of like the original Nilamadav deity that Indradyumna was looking for. Yeah. Anyway, there's a black deity. Maybe you saw it. Somewhere in Katak. But it's on the banks of the Mahanadi River on a hill. And you look at it, you think you're at the ocean. It's really big. We've seen oceans and stuff. And you sit there and you look at the river and it goes. You can't see the other side. It's vast. Really big river. It's called Mahanadi. Nadi, of course, means river. The word Nadi means river. Maha means big. It's a very interesting name. Big river. It could be called Mota Nadi or something. Fat river. But Moti means fat. Mota Nadi. But so the Yamuna was like that. Very, very wide. And the branches of this Bandira tree, they stretched all the way across. And the boys used to walk across the Yamuna on the branches of the tree. It's pretty interesting. Like we came on the pontoon bridge. We walked across the Yamuna on the pontoon bridge on our four wheels. My Krishna used to walk on his two legs across the bridge of this banyan tree. The parrots, the peacocks, and the cuckoos used to eat the fruit of this tree while resting on the branches and singing happily. Well, that we're perceiving today. There's so many birds. You hear all the birds singing? Birds sing. Trees look lively. Deer dance. This is how Brindadevi goes before Krishna into the forest. When Krishna's going for Gocharan. Like at this time in the morning, 8, 9 o'clock, Krishna's moving into the forest, coming over here. Maybe he's here already. We don't see him, but he's here. The cows will be over here. Birds will be singing in the tree. And the deer and other forest animals rested in the cool shade of this banyan tree. So this is one lunch leela. When the boys would sit here and bring all the cows over here, and the cows would drink the water from the Yamuna, the Mother Yashoda would send a lunch tiffin. She would send a tiffin with some nice kachoris and puris and dal bati chorma. Mother Yashoda would regularly send tiffins of lunch for her sons, Krishna and Balaram. While the cows munched the lush green grass of the forest, the boys would play various water sports in the Yamuna. After in the afternoon, all the cowherd boys would sit around Krishna in thousands and thousands of rows. Even though there were hundreds of cowherd boys sitting behind or in front or far away from Krishna, each cowherd boy felt that Krishna was sitting right in front of him. This is the influence of Krishna's Yogamaya Shakti. His Yogamaya Shakti creates the ideal, the perfect setting to exchange. Yogamaya creates the perfect arrangement so that the devotees of the Lord can offer their hearts to the Lord. And so Krishna can offer his heart to the devotees. Because offering of hearts is individual. Love is an individual relationship, one to another. So in Krishna's Leela, love is also very individual, and very much one-on-one relationship. Krishna's receiving our love, and we're receiving his love. So if there's only one Krishna, and there's thousands and thousands of cowherd boys, we have to take a number and get in line. And it's like the lottery. Maybe if our number comes up, we win the lottery. We win the chance of Krishna's embrace. Or win the chance. Oh, today, Damodar, it's your lucky day. After 3,592 days, you get to eat lunch with Krishna. Your number came up in the lunch lottery. But it's not like that. Krishna arranges that when he sits down, there's hundreds of circles of boys around Krishna, like petals of a lotus. He's like the corolla of the lotus, the center. But they're all around like petals. But each one, Krishna actually expands himself. Because in Krishna's pastimes, there's a simultaneous manifestation of Aishwarya and Madhurya. But Aishwarya never diminishes the sweetness and intimacy of their pastimes, although it actually enhances. The presence of Aishwarya, or grandeur, power, omnipotence, opulence, that Krishna manifests in Braj Leela, it only enhances and makes it sweeter. As sweet rice, or kheer, when you add kapur, or camphor to it, just a pinch, then it increases the sweetness of the sweet rice. This is one of the secrets of cooking, which many people don't know. But all the pujaris who cook for deities, and Jagannath Mandir, Srirangam, Balaji, etc., they know the art of flavoring sweets with camphor. This is, if you ever take Balaji's ladus, Venkateshwar Balaji's ladus, or any payasam, we call it sweet rice or kheer. South India, they say payasam. It always has camphor in it. That's the distinguishing speciality of the taste of these temple prasadams. Always camphor. But most people don't know much about. In this time, we learn. We learn, right? In New York, they learn. And we learn about camphor. But most Indian ladies in Bombay and Delhi, they don't know. They don't even, never heard of such a thing, putting camphor in sweets, isn't it? Because they're in Maya. They don't know what Krishna likes. They know what their husbands like and their kiddies. But we know what Krishna likes, and we try to stay away from kiddies and husbands and wives. So Krishna's, no matter where they were, they all felt that Krishna's right in front of them eating food and talking and laughing together with them. And not only felt it, but he was there. He expanded himself. There was thousands of cowherd boys and thousands of Krishnas. Brahma and the other demigods became astonished when they saw these sweet, innocent pastimes of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Well, this is just a little bit about his lunch leela. And, we'll just read another one. Nearby here, there's one forest called Munjatavi. And Munjatavi was actually a marsh. It was a marsh, very wet and low area. And there are many reeds growing there. Reeds is like reeds?
Yes.
Reeds. Like reeds, and munja means grass, grass means reeds, these tall reeds, like with this hairy thing on the top of it, like cattail type of thing. So one day, Krishna and Balaram were having a picnic here with chach and rotis and makkhan and misri and all the things that this Brijvasi just bought us. And they were unaware that the cows had wandered far, far away in pursuit of some green grass. And they went into this forest which was full of reeds. It was a dense thicket of weeds. It was a very dry, hot, and scorching day. The sand was as hot as coals. It was the month of Jaisht. Jaisht means May and June. Very hot. The cows could not find any shade in that forest. And they forgot the path back to Bandiravan. They didn't know, they lost their way. They were dying of thirst. They started crying in distress. Ah! Oh, no, cows. How the cows? Cows crying in distress. Ah! Ah! Ma, you can know. You know. Come on now. You know some of the cows. No, but they talk to you sometimes.
You're
speaking
English.
Ma, ma, ma. No, that's like a soprano or something. The cows sing in a deeper tone. Without telling Krishna and Balaram, then the coward boys, they didn't want to disturb Krishna and Balaram because they were resting under the bandira tree. So they said, oh, the cows have all wandered away. Oh, let's not disturb Krishna and Balaram because they're only thinking of their pleasure. So let us go quickly, go in search of the cows and bring them back here before Krishna and Balaram wake up from their repose, from their rest. So then, what had happened? Meanwhile, the coward boys, they entered Munjatavi forest. And then they became very, very thirsty also, like the cows. And they also lost their way, like the cows. And they started crying out to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahavira, He Ramaga, Vikrama, Devagnina, Dayamana, Prapanams, Chattam, Arhata. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, most powerful one, O Ram, that means Balaram, you whose prowess never fails, please save your devotees who are about to be burned by this forest fire and have come to your shelter. That's the 10th canto, chapter 19, verse 9. It's about the forest fire. So what had happened, while all the boys were trapped in this dense thicket of reeds in Munjatavi forest, and all the cows were trapped, and they were dying of thirst and hunger, and they're totally bewildered and unhappy and disturbed because they lost their way. And they're crying out, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Ram, 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 Krishna, please save us, save us. Gorbachev, Gorbachev. You mean save us? Huh? How do you say save us in Hindi?
Bachao,
Bachao. Oh, Bachao. Oh, Gorbachev, that was the guy. That's what they were saying when the previous prime minister of Russia, his name was Gorbachev. So what the people in India were saying, the reason that the Russians got free, they got glasnost or got free, because they were praying, oh Gore, please save us. Gorbachev. Because Bachao means save us. And Gore is Lord Gauranga. And only Lord Gauranga can save anyone from Kali Yuga. He's Patita Pavan Avatar. So his prime minister's name was Gore. So they were saying, Gorbachev. Gore, save us. And they got saved. And the country became free and capitalistic or whatever, so-called free, or whatever it is. They got some new liberalization over there. So all the Russians could come to America and jump up and down in the street corners playing tambourines, chanting Hare Krishna, like the rest of the crazy Hare Krishnas. Gorbachev. So they were saying, Krishna Bachao, 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 save us, save us. Ram, save us. So hearing the coward boys crying and combined with the crying of the cows, then Balaram woke up. He said, Krishna, do you hear that? That's the boys. The boys are not here. Where are the cows? No one's here. Oh, Balaram. This is very bad. Where are they gone? Oh, they're over there. It's coming, the crying is coming from over there, from Munjatavi Van. Wicked King Kans, as they say in India, from Mathura, he sent one of his servants to set Munjavan on fire. There was a big wind pushing the fire everywhere. The blazing flames were surrounding the coward boys and cows, threatening to burn them alive. Roasted. They cried for help. Oh Krishna, come save us, help! Bachao, bachao! Krishna immediately came on the spot and said, close your eyes. Fear no longer. And in 1 second, Krishna swallowed the entire forest fire. And the boys opened their eyes and said, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai! They miraculously found themselves, when the boys opened their eyes, they miraculously found themselves sitting under the banyan tree listening to Maharaj's lecture. No. They found themselves sitting under the banyan tree in the shade with Krishna and all the cows. And they were absorbed as they were before in eating this wonderful feast with Krishna and Balaram. And the entire the distress and the agony and the suffering of the forest fire seemed like nothing but a dream. And that's what happens when you attain the shelter of Guru. Samsara davana lalita loka chanaya karanya gana ganatam praptasya kalyana gunarna vahasya vande guru sri charanaravindam vande guru sri charanaravindam Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. Davanala Lida Loka. Davanala, Davana. Davanala means forest fire. Lida means afflicted, tortured by, scorched by. Davanala Lida Loka. The living entities, the people in this world are being burned, scorched, fried by the fire of material existence. So when we come, Gaganatvam. The guru is like a cloud. He's like a cloudburst. He's full of the ras, bhakti ras, seva ras of bhakti. And he rains that on the forest fire and puts out, extinguishes the forest fire, material existence, in 1 second. It's over. Janma mrityu javyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. All finished by guru kripa. This is the mercy. Well, as Krishna swallowed the forest fire, Krishna's representative, Sri Guru, he swallows the forest fire of material existence for each and every disciple. And then when a disciple looks back on the forest fire of Manhattan and New Jersey, and material existence, and he thinks, oh, what was I doing before? Who was I before? How was I acting in my previous life? It all seems to be nothing but a dream. And somebody may come and show you, see, there's a picture of you. This is on you, on your motorcycle, on your 18th birthday. Huh? Who's that? Doesn't look like he has a shaved head. That's not me. So it's all a dream. The dream is over. Radhe, Radhe. Shri Gurudev ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So as the coward boys were saved by Krishna, we are all wandering coward boys and coward girls, and we're being saved by Krishna also. And we're crying out, Krishna, Krishna. So this demon, this Munjatavi forest, represents a particular Nartha, which we have over here on this page, represents 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 very good qualities. five very bad things. First thing that this forest fire represents is arguments. Being attached to pointless arguments is represented by the Munjatavi forest fire. We argue about pointless things. Well, you know, it was like this or like that. You know, Jiva came from here, there, what's the thing, you know? Blah, 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 blah. Hey, look, the house is on fire, you're burning, the door is there, get out, go through the door. How the fire started, who started the fire, when it started, it's eternally burning, or it started when you hiccuped, or what happened, whatever, whatever. It's on, man. It's on. And your can is on the fire. So it's best to get in gear and get out the door. So pointless arguments. No time. We don't have time. Do bhajan. Bhajan karo. Nam karo. Bhajan karo. Jap karo. Kirtan karo. Seva karo. Everything will be resolved. Everything will be realized in the waves of bhajan. Second thing, similar thing, is battles and conflicts. Represents fighting mental enemies. or looking for fights with others due to false ego. Hey, buddy, you want to fight? Hey, man, you want to fight? Due to false ego, looking for fights. It doesn't mean like fisticuffs. So fighting mental enemies or looking for a fight with others due to false ego. So battles and conflicts. And this isn't an art, and some people have the tendency, they're always getting arguments, they're always fighting about any useless damn thing, because of their egos. They're not shanti, they're not cool, they're always arguing about, oh, you say it's black, no, it's white, it's black, it's white, black, black. No, he hit the ball like that, no, but he could have done like this, no, but he didn't. You know, any stupid thing about anything. Battles and conflicts. There's a tendency, some people have this fighting nature, to get in battles and conflicts. And fighting against the opinions of others. That's also very big. That's all under battles and conflicts. The third thing is hatred. Inner hatred towards other groups and communities. These Babaji's, you know. This. Like I heard one person was telling me, he stays in one ISKCON temple. And he said that the leaders there, whenever they give class, they're always bashing the Babaji's. They're always blaming everything. Oh, the Babaji's this, Babaji's that. They're always bashing because many of the devotees in that temple, they often slide off and become Babaji's. So he's always berating them and belittling them and offending them. And this person in that temple, he came to me and he said, oh, what they're saying like this, what should I do? I said, this is very bad. This is not very good. We should not say anything bad about anyone. Like we say in America, we have a phrase you may have in Hindi. If you can't say something good about someone, then
don't do anything at all.
Shush up. Don't say anything at all. Unless you're in a position of teacher or you have to correct, not even saying something bad, but correcting someone. But so people, sometimes people have this tendency, oh, this Gaudiya Math, this Gaudiya Math, that, this kind of, this is, everywhere is good. Everywhere is goodness. Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is good. The dacoits are also very good. Gundas are very good. Everyone's very good. We don't get into this, but people have this. So this is a hatred, inner hatred towards other groups or communities. That's one, two, three. The fourth thing is religious practices. Disregard for the religious practice of others. Oh, these Mayavadis, oh, this, that, or you know, what do they do? What is, they do this namaz. These Mohammedans and Muslims, they do namaz. What is this? Oh, this is very nice. They're every day, four or five times a day, bowing down, facing Mecca. This is nice. Some really advanced devotees in Mayapur and Vrindavan, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, every day they look in the direction of Vrindavan, Braj Mandal, and they offer dandavats. And they're in Mayapur and they face their head towards Braj Mandal. They offer dandavats. And they say they remember the Dwarasavan. Then some devotees are in Braj Mandal and they offer their head towards Bengal, towards Navadvip Mandal, Mayapur Dham. And they say, Samantadvip Ki Jai, Godrundvip Ki Jai, Madhyadvip Ki Jai, Koladvip Ki Jai, Janandvip Ki Jai, Ritudvip Ki Jai, Madhyadvip Ki Jai, Rudradvip Ki Jai, Antardvip Ki Jai, Shimayapur Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Maharani Ki Jai, Jalangi Maharani Ki Jai, Saraswati Maharani Ki Jai, Sri Yogapit Ki Jai, Sri Vasangam Ki Jai, Sri Varamada Vasasaki Bunda Ki Jai, Sri Gurudeva Ki Jai, Gorgadandhara Ki Jai. And they do like this, offering dandavats. That's their namaz. Gaudiya namaz. Gaudiya Vaishnava namaz. Then they offer, they turn their head southeast. Southeast towards Jagannath Puri. The Haridas Thakur Samadhi, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra Ki Jai. Haridas Thakur Samadhi Ki Jai. Gundichi. Like this. So we also have namaz. Many devotees, they do like that. So, we can learn something. The Muslims are doing a good thing. They're putting their head towards the east, isn't it? Towards Mecca. West. Because Mecca's west of India. Towards Mecca, because that's their dham. That's their holy place. So we have three dhams. Navadvip in the east, and we have our Jagannath Puri in the southeast. And then of course, it's like even places in Vrindavan, Govardhan. If you live in Braj Mandal, and you go in someone's ashram, and you say, oh, you know, your feet, why is your head over here? Oh, Giriraj is here. I can't put my feet towards Giriraj. Although they're sleeping upside down, they have their feet towards the sun. Feet towards the east, which is wrong. Their feet are facing the east and their head. No, I can't put my feet towards Giriraj. Giriraj is over here. Oh, where's Giriraj? No, he's over there. They're in that direction somewhere. They have this bhav. Is there a bhav? This is very good. So to disregard the religious practices of others. Actually, everyone who's practicing any religious activity, we can learn from them. We can get something from them. And the fifth anartha, is represented as sectarianism. Due to sectarianism, that means like sect, you know, we can't accept anyone outside of your own group as a Vaishnava. People say like that, oh, there's no, and only ISKCON is Vaishnavas. Sometimes people say like that. So this is sectarianism. So if we have any of these faults or problems within our mind or consciousness, by reading this chapter 19 of Krishna book and praying to Krishna to swallow, as he swallowed the forest fire, please swallow the fire of all these anarthas and obstacles that's burning in my mind and burning my heart. Because these anarthas are like fire. They're burning us, our hatred, our envy, our anger, which causes battles and conflicts and sectarianism. It's like a fire burning the mind, fire burning the heart. So Krishna swallowed it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is explaining that these anarthas are fiery. They're like a fire. And Krishna swallowed it. 1 second. Close your eyes. Read this pastime of Krishna swallowing the forest fire to protect the cows and coward boys. Read this pastime. Close your eyes and pray to Krishna. And the time it takes you to close your eyes, when you open your eyes, Krishna swallows the fire. And all your sectarianism is gone. All your battles and conflicts are gone. All your hatred of others is gone. And all your disregard for others' religious practices is gone. Disregard for religious practice of others and sampradayas. Disagreement with other sampradayas and mats. That's what it says. So this comes under the category of religious practices. Disregard for religious practice of others and disregard other sampradayas. Disagreement with other sampradayas and mats. So that's a big one. So this is the anartha of this one. And then this sometimes, of course, one of the favorite pastimes of the coward boys is wrestling. They were always wrestling. Boys love to wrestle. So they would eat a big lunch, and then they would rest under the trees, and they wake up, they have all this energy. So then they start wrestling. Krishna and Balaram and Sridham and Krishna and Subal and Krishna, and they would wrestle together. That's why Kamsa invited them for a wrestling match, because for example, if it's something you really like to do, and someone invites you, oh, come on over and let's do what you like to do, you like to go. If they are invited to play cricket, they say, oh, Krishna Balaram, please come to Mathura and play cricket. They say, what's cricket? That's British. We don't play that. We don't play that. That's British. But they invited them for wrestling, then no, they're right there, because they love to wrestle. So once they used to wrestle in this nice arena here. This is in Bhakti Ratnakar. One day, Krishna was alone under the banyan tree. And he played an enchanting melody on his flute. Oh, this is a very interesting type of wrestling. Radharani and all the Sakis met Krishna here. And Radharani asked, O Priyatam, what kind of games do you play here with all the cowherd boys? I've heard that you often go to Bandiravan. And under this tree you have so many games that you play over here. Krishna said, Priyaji, I wrestle with my friends here. No one in the world can wrestle like me. I can defeat everyone in wrestling. See, look. Impressive, huh? Then Lalita challenged. Because Lalita's a challenging type. Krishnaji, today we want to see you dressed like a wrestler and engaged in wrestling. Krishna said, okay, I'll dress myself as a wrestler, but who will challenge me? Who will fight with me? One gopi proudly said, one gopi is Srimati Radhika. We Sakis will be your opponents in wrestling. Then the Sakis dressed Radharani for wrestling. When Krishna saw Radharani dressed as a wrestler, ready to fight, he became completely captivated by the sweetness of Radharani's every limb. Krishna's body broke out in goosebumps. He started trembling. Seeing this, the Sakis jokingly said, "Hey, Shyam, you have defeated everyone in wrestling. What's wrong now? How is it that you're trembling in fear all over your body just by gazing at your opponent? How will you ever be able to fight in such a condition of weakness?" Shyam felt very embarrassed by the teasing of the Sakis. Then Radha and Krishna began to wrestle under this tree. No one could win. It was a stalemate. The Sakis were overwhelmed with bliss, watching how every time Krishna tried to defeat Radharani, she would defeat him, she would conquer him and defeat him back. Even Kamadev, Cupid, became totally intoxicated with bliss by watching this wrestling match. And that's the end of the story. Now, Rupa Goswami, he glorifies this pastime in Brajavilas Stuff, number 93. He says, "I worship Mandiravan, where my beautiful queen," because Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari. So Rati Manjari is his Manjari Sarup in Krishna Leela. So Das Goswami is saying, I worship this beautiful forest of Mandiravan, where my beautiful queen, my Swamini, proud Sri Radha, dressed as a wrestler, enthusiastically wrestled with her Priyatam, Sri Krishna, thus bringing great happiness to the god of love, Cupid, or Madan, Kamadev. So this very sweet pastime. Not only the cowherd boys had so many pastimes here, but even Krishna would sometimes come here and wrestle with the gopis. Any of the cowherd boys want to wrestle with the gopis? No. No, thanks. We give you Patra.
Jai Patra.
We sign a Jai Patra. We don't want to even think about challenging you. You're too heavy and too fast moving for us to deal with. When you don't want to default? Forfeit?
By default, you win.
By default, yeah. By default, you win. So this is about this tree here. Let's see anything else. And there's Venukoop. Then there's Vasistali. Actually, it says a short, I don't know where, it's been so long, but somewhere out there there's a Ras Mandal. A short distance from this tree, there's Krishna used to call the cowherd boys from high in one tree. I don't know, maybe out over there. I think over there, it's about 50 meters out in the field. There's a Ras Mandal out there. I saw it once before, years ago. But one time, on one beautiful night, in Sharad time, Krishna came here, and he called the gopis with his flute. Radhike, Radhike, Lalite, Vishake. And they all came from Varsana to meet Krishna here in Bandiravan, in this Rasastali. And they enjoyed a wonderful Rasalila under this tree. This much is described in Bhakti Ratnakar. When Srinivas Acharya was taking Naratam and Shamananda on Braj Tarasikos Parikrama, he came here and he said, this thing happened over here. So this is also the place where one big demon was killed. By Balaram. Who is that demon?
Pralambasura.
So now, these demons they have mystic power, they're like yogis. So this demon, he was a friend of Kant's. And he disguised himself as a coward boy because the coward boys were playing cops and robbers over here. And some boys were playing the part of sheep, and some boys were playing the part of robbers, chores. And they were stealing the sheep. And some were cops, and they were, hey, stop, chore. So he came to play with Krishna and Balaram. On that particular day, one coward boy had stayed home. So he wasn't there. So this demon, he dressed himself exactly like the coward boy. So he would mix in. Otherwise, if he comes in some funny dress or color, who is this guy? So he was exactly dressed like this gop, or this Rajgwal. So he thought he was disguised. No one could detect him. However, Krishna understood everything. But he pretended to accept the demon as one of his friends. It's like Krishna and us. Krishna's pretending to accept the demon as one of his friends. Krishna inwardly was thinking, how will I kill this demon? So he divided the coward boys into two teams. Balaram was in charge of one team and Krishna was in charge of the other team. And they played this one game of one boy was getting on the shoulders of another boy. And whoever lost, and we call chicken fights. You know, one guy tries to knock the other guy off the other guy's shoulders. So whoever lost, he had to carry the winner on his shoulders. So Pralambasura, he was thinking that he could not conquer Krishna. So he got Balaram on his shoulders. Then he carried Balaram far away from this place. He dragged him away from all the coward boys. And then, understanding that he was being kidnapped by a demon, then Balaram became heavier than Mount Meru. That's pretty heavy. So then, to counteract that, the demon assumed a huge form, huge powerful form, Pralambasura. Then Balaram stuck his head, pop, with his fist as hard as a thunderbolt of Indra. Dong! Then the demon fell to the ground dead. Pralambari ki!
Jai!
Pralambari Balarama ki!
Jai!
Pralambari means killer, Ari, the killer of Pralamba. So that was fast. Didn't take much time. He polished him off in no time. So now, Pralambasura represents some other good Anarthas. That I'm sure you're all very interested to hear about. Right, Lata?
Yes.
So, here we go. There's only three for this one.
Okay.
One is greed. Greed for position, money, and worship. In other words, greed to be guru. Because you get all three at once. You get worship, you get position, and you get money. So you just become guru, then you got it all at one. One shot. Right? Position. Because guru, you try to be big, and then, well, if you can't be God, then be guru. First try to be God, and if that doesn't work, then be guru. So the Mayavadis do. So greed for position, money, and worship. Desire for honor. Then this gets a little bit touchy now. This one is illicit sex. Removing the desire for illicit sex and attachment to it.
Jai Balaram.
Jai Balaram. We have to cry out to Balaram. Really cry out. Because it's a big, big, big one. And so we need the big guy, the big brother. We need Dalji. He's the big brother. He's Balaram. He's strong. Spiritual strength. So we have to invoke, we have to receive the powerful spiritual strength from Balaram to defeat this most powerful enemy. Attachment to illicit sex. Then last one, another good one, lust. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes like this. Well, this is like, maybe I turn red with this one. Keeping an external show of devotion while maintaining lust for the opposite sex. I'm already red, so you can't. Face is already red. Just thinking about it. This is a good one. Brahmacharis beware. Sannyasis beware. Keeping an external. Oh, yeah. Bhadya Bhakta. Bharabhakt. Oh, yes. Bharabhakta. External show devotion. But maintaining lust for the opposite sex. So it's not all that bad. It's not. This applies to ladies also, ladies and gents. So there's hope. The hope is Balaram, Nittai, Sachisuta, and Nittai Balaram. There's great hope, and he's so merciful. He's the ones that are most hopeless. He's come. Balaram and Nittai have come for the most hopeless, because we're all like this. Who's not like this? Who's not? Everyone's making an external show of devotion. Who isn't? You are. I am. You are. You are. You all are. We're all making an external show. Oh yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Where's some girl? Where's some boy? It's like this. Let's be honest. So we're unfortunate. We're born in Kali Yuga, and that's our nature. That's our sabab. But the hope is there, and the help is there, and the remedy is there. And the remedy is this chapter of the Bhagavatam, which it's not written here just now. I can't remember. What chapter? 19, or same. It's chapter 19, Palambasura. Forest fire and Palambasura together. So it's chapter 19. If we read this, what happened? If we read this chapter and we pray sincerely, cry out for the mercy of Balaram, then the all merciful Balaram Nittai will enter our hearts and bop this demon right on the head. Bam! And then we'll become pure devotees by the mercy of Nittai Balaram. Nittai bina kripa, without the mercy of Nittai, Radha Krishna seva nehoga, whatever. You don't get it. So this is the demon. Greed, desire for honor, illicit sex, and lust. It's amazing how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing this. That means that 100 years ago, 150 years ago when he's writing this, people are also making external show of devotion. They see something, like sometimes they say, oh, so-and-so, he was a big guru, he's a big sannyasi, but now he's, you know, here, there, and everywhere. So, it's like this, external show. Devotion is not a show. It's an internal affair. It's not a matter of having, you know, fancy dhoti and a gold ring. It's internal. Bhakti is a heart matter, not a skin matter. It's a matter of the heart, not the skin. It's not your skin and what you put over your skin, your clothes and your apparel. It's internal. Bhakti is inside. Heart is inside. Krishna's inside. Atma's inside. So we have to go deep in the heart of Krishna and deep in our own heart to find the essence of reality, which is pure love of God. This is reality. Everything else is a covering of that. Everything else is a covering of the original, of the reality, which is pure love. Shuddha Prem, Kanta Prem. When we go in the temple of Radha Anand Bihari, we will see the most unusual deity in the entire universe. One of the most unusual, because the first one is Tota Gopinath. Most unusual deity in the entire universe. There's only one deity like this in the entire Earth planet. Radharani is there, Krishna is there. You've been here before? Who's been here before? Raise your nose. I mean hand. Anyway, what we will see, unless the deity's been stolen, which happens sometimes, why these deities are under this tree? This is all new. The whole platform is new. This platform's been built within the last few years. Last time I came, there was only the tree and the Brajaraj and the memories and the Leela. But now it's the big platform, and I'm supposed a few people sit there to tell you all about it. And it's written there in Hindi, some kind of thing. But this is the place where Radha and Krishna were married. And this Leela is described in Garga Samhita. And this is also interesting because if you read Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami, it also starts in the same way. And the Garga Samhita starts in the same way. So it's not what we're accustomed to, but Gita Govinda, Jayadeva Goswami, and also Garga Rishi, who wrote Garga Samhita, and some particular kalpa, Radharani was like a teenager. Because many, you'll meet many Brijvasis that say Radharani is much older than Krishna. Radharani was already like 12 years old when Krishna was born. We don't say that. But Jayadeva Goswami, he had this conception. But our Gaudiya conception is, because Jayadeva Goswami, he was living 900 years ago, 1,000 years ago, before Lord Chaitanya's time. He wrote Gita Govinda. And so the knowledge he had in his hand was Garga Samhita. So he's saying the same thing Garga Samhita is saying in the beginning of Gita Govinda. So Gita Govinda is saying like this. Garga Samhita is saying like this, because there, and also in Gopal Champu it's described, and it describes like this. Nanda Maharaj came here with the cows, and he had baby Krishna, Nandalal, with him. And many clouds came in the sky, like today. There were rain clouds, and it started thundering and lightning. And the boy was crying, ooh, ooh, oh, it's lightning. He became afraid. At that same time, this beautiful Kishori Gopi came walking along. She was like a 14-year-old girl, about 14 years and 2 months and 15 days old. And she was walking along, and Nanda Baba said, oh, Radhika, please, can you take my Lala? Can you take him back to Nandagram, to Yashoda? Because he's crying, he's afraid of the storm. So in this description of Gita Govind, in the beginning you can see, and Garga Samhita, Krishna's a baby, he's a little Lala, little baby, 2 years old, three, four, maybe three, walking three, four. And Radharani is a teenager. And you can see, this is all Shastra. So then Radharani took Krishna in her arms. So Radharani also has Vatsalya Bhav. Because in Madhurya Bhav, everything is there. Vatsalya is there, Sakya is there, and Dasya, and everything is there. So this is also showing how Vatsalya is there. Aside from the feeding and nourishing, all the things that she does anyway, which is Vatsalya. So now she's carrying Krishna, and it says they walked together and they entered the deep, dark forest of Bandiravan, and then Krishna assumed his Kishore Roop. Yeah. And then the love play of Radha and Krishna began. Yeah. This is how Gita Govinda is. And the love play of Radha and Krishna began. And then the whole thing. So in Garga Samhita said that Krishna assumed his Kishore form. And then Brahma came down. They started wandering around the forest, and all the gopis manifested. They wandered around the forest. They went bathing in Yamuna. They played Jalkeli. They had Banbihar. They had a nice feast. They danced and Rasa danced together. Then the gopis said, oh, they came under this banyan tree. Then the gopis said, oh, Radha and Krishna, you look so nice together. Why don't you get married? Let's have a marriage. Let's have a Gandharva marriage here. Gandharva marriage means we don't need the mother and father. We don't need permission of the mother and father. I love you. You love me. Here's my garland and here's my garland. We just exchange garlands. That's why, or mala. That's why in India, it's like a big faux pas. It's a big faux pas if some man that's not related to some kanya, some virgin girl, if he offers her a garland. And I learned the hard way once in Delhi. It was a satsang in my room. And afterwards there was this couple and with their daughter. And there were many people there. And I had this mala. She was about 14 or 15 or something like that. So, and she is a nice person. And so I thought, I'll give her this garland. So I went to give her the garland. And she was going backwards like this. And like, I don't want to be, maybe he doesn't know my culture. But she was like, anyway, I put it on, I just put it on her neck. And then her parents were like, parents are like really angry like this. You know? And then they left. Then one of my friends said, oh Maharaj, you made a big mistake. He said, because in Indian culture, this means you just married their daughter. You just did a Gandharva marriage. I said, really? I offered her Mahaprasad. Mahaprasad got, he said, whatever. You know? I said, okay, I'll never do that again. So some people learn by hearing, and some people learn by experience, and some people never learn at all. So then the gopis had this idea. So as soon as they had this idea, oh, Radha Krishna, you look so beautiful. Oh, Kishoriju, oh, Shamju, you look so beautiful. You should be united forever. You should always be married. Let's have a Gandharva marriage right here. So they had that desire under this very banyan tree, under the exact same tree. And they're here. And we're all the Sakis, and we're here. And Brahma is over there with foreheads, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, so then at that time, Lord Brahma came down, and all the celestial damsels came down. Indra's wife, Shachi, and was it Vishishta Muni's wife, Arundhati? Arundhati and Shachi, and then all the apsaras came, Rambauru and Tilaka, Tilotama, and Urvasi, and so many celestial people came down. Shiva came, Parvati came, Ganesh came, because if Ganesh there, everything's auspicious. We came in person. And there was kirtan, there were showering flowers, and Brahma, that's why there's a deity of Brahma. You see the four-headed deity? That's Lord Brahma. He's the head of our sampradaya. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya Ki Jai. Sri Chaturmukh Brahmaji Ki Jai. Sri Narada Muni Ki Jai. Vyasa Muni Ki Jai. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Radha Nanda Bihari Ki Jai. So here, 5,000 years ago, in this forest of Mandiravan, this wonderful marriage was performed. Lord Brahma chanted all the marriage mantras, and then because in order, because it was a combination Gandharva marriage and even proper marriage. So then Brahma, he gave away his daughter. He acted as the father. He acted as the father of Radharani, and he says, "I will give away my daughter," because Brahma is the father of all living entities. Right, in Naralila, in one sense, Brahma is the father of Krishna. In human-like pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Brahma is the father. So he said, look, I'll give away. So he chanted all the mantras, swaha, swaha. And then so he said, okay, now I'll give away my daughter to Krishnaji. So he gave away the daughter, and the garlands were exchanged. And everybody said, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Sham. And they, Jai Ho, Chatila Maharani Ki Jai Ho. So they gave... They gave a wonderful... Jatila even came a little late. She missed the marriage. Good thing she didn't see the marriage. Because, you know, Radharani's supposed to marry her son, Abhimanyu. So she's just coming down. She heard there was some marriage, so she came down to find out about it. So this beautiful marriage took place here. So now, in this temple, we're going to see this most unusual deity. And this deity is called Radha Anand Bihari. What is unusual about it? Because this is the only deity, this deity is commemorating this pastime. Because when a man in the Vedic culture marries a lady, he takes some kunkum. I guess he has some, I don't know, like kunkum. Sindur. He takes some sindur and then he puts it on the part of her hair. Like this. I guess with his thumb? With his thumb. He goes, oh my God, what did I do? I really made a mistake. It's too late now. Anyway, he puts this red line. And that red line means stop. Because stop signs are red. So this means stop. All your fun now stops. All your freedom now stops. All your old buddies now stop. All your good times now stop. That's why it's red, because it means stop sign. It's not green. Why didn't they do green? Hari Ali. They could do green light. Green means green light. Go, go, go. Go, 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 man. Now you're married. Go for it. Go, go, go. But no, it's red light. Red light. Stop. Band ho gaya. Kailana band ho gaya. S-T-O-P. Stop. So this is what it means. You probably were wondering. This is a tattva. All fun stuff. Now you're bound. But then he puts it like this. So this deity of Krishna, he's turning towards Radharani. His right hand is raised, and his thumb is like this, and he's putting sindur on Radharani's forehead. So what does this mean for us? This means that every lady in the universe should come here. First, she should leave her husband. Every lady in the universe should leave her husband. And she should come here and say, yes, Krishna, please, as you're putting this sindur on Radharani's head and accepting her as your own, please put sindur on my head and accept me as your own. I am your eternal sevadasi. You are my eternal pati. Pati means Lord and Master. And forever I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, na jivami tvayavina, iti vigaya radhe tvam, nayamam charanantikam. I am yours, I am yours. I cannot live without you. O Srimati Radharani, please understand this and take me to your lotus feet for your eternal service. This is my only prayer at your feet. So this we should think, oh, Krishna, please, let me stand on the other side. Now you did Radharani, now do me. We don't need koi pati no nehi. Dusra pati nehi, pati nehi. We don't need any other husband. Everyone's looking, oh, I want a husband, I want a husband. Like some ladies we know. They say, oh, I want a husband, I want a husband. I need a husband, I need a husband. But actually, Krishna is a husband. What does he say? Aham bija prada pita. He says, pita. Pita means father. Pita means lord. Pita means husband. He says in the 14th chapter of Gita, verse 27, Sarva yona shikantaya murtaya sambhavantaya. Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir, Aham Bija Prada Pita. He said, Aham, I. Bija Prada. I am the seed-giving father. Father, husband of everyone. So make Krishna your husband, and you'll be happy forevermore. Nitai Gaur Vimalandi Hari Hari Vo. The deity of Krishna is putting, in the book it says, Kunkum, red dot on the forehead of the deity of Radharani, to signify her marriage to, his marriage to Radharani, which took place here. So after this whole pastime took place, Radharani's marriage with Krishna and the Rasa dance and Banbihar and Jalkeli and all the gopis, then everyone disappeared. Brahma went back, the demigods went back, everybody, it was all withdrawn. And then Krishna again, from his Kishore Rupi, he became Bal Krishna. He became Bal Krishna. And Radharani carried Bal Krishna back to Nandagram and said, here's your Bal Krishna. Bal Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. This vein of coop. What happened here is there's two different pastimes. In other words, there's a well there. It's a very special and sacred well. And every Amavasya, it's called Samavati Amavasya when it appears on Monday. Because Monday is a day ruled by the moon. So when the dark moon is there on Monday, it's considered spiritually auspicious and materially inauspicious. And they say, although Dinabandhu and I have both been here many times, and they say, oh, you just missed it. At 3 o'clock this morning, it turned white. But they say at a certain nakshatra that the water in that well turns into milk, into amrit. And anyone who drinks that amrit, they become eternal, immortal, and all these things. But even it is a fact that the ladies of this village and this Brajmandal, they come here and drink the water from this well to get a son. Because it has happened many times. The ladies have no son, they drink the water and they get a son. So don't drink the water until you get married. Because some ladies here aren't married. So if they drink the water, they may get in trouble. You can put it on your head at least. After killing Vatsasura, Krishna met the Braja Gopis, boasting of his strength. I killed Vatsasura, big demon. And so then the Gopis said, okay, big deal. But, you know, you killed a calf, and now you did Gohatya, so we don't want to touch you. So you have to go purify yourself. He said, I didn't kill a cow, he was a demon in the form of a calf. The Braja Gopis did not accept. They insisted that he purify himself by bathing in all the holy tirthas on earth. So Krishna took his flute, and he dug a hole. Something like Radhakund pastime also, he put his foot there. Here he put his flute, and he dug a hole, and he called all the sacred rivers. And they all came there, personified, entered the well. Then the Braja Gopis saw all of them, and then Krishna bathed there. So it's said that by bathing in this well, one will get the result of bathing in every single holy tirth in India. And women that have no child, they worship this well. They do puja to this well, they take some water from this well, and they get blessed with the sun. This is told by one of the great acharyas of Brajmandal, who has lots of experience with Brijvasis. They do this. So if anyone, of course maybe you've finished all that, most of you. But you can tell your friends, if you have any girlfriends or whatever that are having trouble having a son, you can send them here. Also Radhakund, there's a benediction about Radhakund, the pumpkin thing too. This is very famous for this. So we'll circumambulate that well, all those holy tirthas. And it's too bad we didn't think we could have done some puja over there to that well. By worshipping that well, we're worshipping all the holy tirthas. Anybody wants to jump in the well and take bath, they're welcome to. It's about 80 feet down. I hope you're a good diver. And if anybody has a rope, we'll try to throw a rope and bring it back up. Otherwise, there's no reason to come up because you're drowning in all the holy tirthas, you might as well do it.